Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third down and 10 at the New England 35-yard line. Watson calls for the ball. Here's the snap. Deshaun looking. Deshaun stepping to his left. And he throws long again to the end zone. And it's caught by Stills. Rock and roll. The Texans get it anyway. Watson to Kenny Stills for six.
That made it 21-3 last night as we welcome you back in on a Reaction Monday brought to you by Coors Light. The thing I loved about that play, Seth, the previous play was the deep shot to Will Fuller, which right. They spent a decent chunk of time reviewing that play. And
I'm angry at the officials on that for calling it a touchdown initially.
Well, here's why I think they did it, is that you have to review a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I think they do it to save Bill Belichick or the head coach of whatever team from having to use a challenge to do that. You've got it available to you. There was nothing happening after the play where calling it a touchdown. Oh,
right. I know what you're saying, but the ball clearly hit the ground. It was early enough that it wasn't a matter of whether or not he established control. I thought it was clear enough that if the official had a clear sight of it, I thought he should have called it in.
And I think
time.
That may be what it was. He didn't have a clear sight of it because the ball started to move when Will was kind of on top of it.
I'm saying is that from a viewing standpoint, I was annoyed that I was put through
that,
having to sit there and wait. And then it took longer.
It was inconvenient.
You knew immediately with the first time you watched the replay that it wasn't a touchdown.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time. The more time, I was saying this to Adam Spillane. I was sitting next to him in the press box. I said, man, the longer they review this, the more I feel like there's a chance they may uphold this touchdown.
Is this going to be one of those things where I don't get it, but it benefits me?
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
I was cool with it. But I love the fact that after that play, the very next play, deep shot to, it was Kenny Stills that time, the exact same part of the field, they take a shot down and they end up scoring the touchdown anyways.
It was, we didn't get that. Unlike previous years when that would have devastated us, we're just going to go ahead and do it again.
Right.
How about that, big fella?
Yeah.
You like that? It was a Patriots defense that's only allowed six touchdowns going into this game. We're just going to take them at will.
Yeah.
We're just going to take them from you.
And this is where having Deshaun Watson as the quarterback of this team, Seth, last night is a night where you palpably feel that, not only because he's just great at football, it's a primetime game. The Texans are 6-2 in primetime games with Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. That doesn't get played up enough when you consider just how poor this team played, how poorly this team played in primetime. Both under Bill O'Brien, it was a real bugaboo for the Gary Kubiak teams. Mm-hmm. Even the good Gary Kubiak teams had some difficulties playing primetime games. The most noteworthy one, the one that started this losing streak that got snapped last night against the Patriots. To have a quarterback that goes into these games, it doesn't matter that the team is a great team like the Patriots were last night. I know the Patriots and some aspects of them are not what we're used to seeing with Patriot teams. That was a 10-1 football team with a really good defense. And Deshaun Watson now 6-2 in primetime games feels really, really good, man. The most revered athletes in this town historically, those Clutch City Rockets, these recent Astro teams, the one trait, the one gene that they had was the clutch gene. Deshaun Watson has that. Now the question is, is he able to bring everybody with him to do some big things in the postseason like those teams have done?
I feel like they still have at least one thing in their back pocket, too, which is something I was clamoring for before the game, and they didn't ultimately end up needing it at all, is just more designed quarterback runs. Mm-hmm. I understand keeping Deshaun Watson healthy. I thought last night that the Texans would have needed a little bit more to do what they did versus the Patriots defense. And I thought, and part of this is because it was a Sunday night game, I'm watching Lamar Jackson play at noon and I'm seeing all these designed quarterback runs. I'm not talking about zone reads. I'm talking about designed quarterback runs and just what havoc it wreaks on a defense. I'd like to see more of that, but I also respect Bill O'Brien for being careful with Deshaun's body. I think it's almost like a nuclear button in his mind that Deshaun's had his health issues before, and he doesn't want to tempt fate any more than he needs to. So it's there potentially in the playoffs if you need it. But they didn't need it last night. That versus a very, very good defense. They just flat out did it by Deshaun understanding how to get rid of the football when he was under duress, where to go with the football. And I think crucially, and something a lot of people have been clamoring for, using Duke Johnson as an actual part of the passing offense, yeah. Heavily part of the passing offense in the first half. That was all the difference in the world, was actually integrating him into the passing offense.
Duke had 5 catches in the game last night. He had a touchdown catch in the game last night. I believe his touchdown made it 14-3 the first half.
Were you nervous at all when it looked like the score might get to 28-3? I did not. Symbolically. When it was 21-3, I'm sitting there thinking, like, wait a second, that could get to 28-3 in the same building that they came back from 28. I don't like this. I feel like the football gods, if they were to screw me last night, would have screwed me and everybody else just like that by having the Patriots come back from 28-3 again in the same building that they came back in the playoffs.
I didn't think of it within the context of, boy, I sure hope the Texans don't score here to make it a scary score.
Oh, I did.
And I bet you weren't alone, to be honest with you. Yeah. See, you're superstitious. I'm not super.
I'm not, though.
But
I'm not.
As Michael Scott would say, I'm a little stitious.
Yeah, yeah.
and so I wasn't thinking specifically along those lines, but when they were up 21-3, I was thinking the Patriots have come back from big deficits in this building before, and of course we're referring to the Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons.
I think the difference was in that Falcons Super Bowl that the Patriots had been moving the ball and had some success in that game. They just weren't scoring, and that's why the Patriots were able to just keep doing what. You remember when the Patriots opened up the third quarter versus the Falcons, they were running the ball in the third quarter, even though they were down so much. And people were wondering, why is Belichick still running at this point? It's because they were going to run their offense and do what was working. Nothing was really working for the Patriots offense last night until the Texans went into prevent mode, at which point Romeo Crennel decided to just mess with us all.
Yeah.
And kind of I got from real cocky to like, oh, this is all, look, the Patriots are sucking up a lot of clock. This is just taking time. This is exactly what you want. Man, after that first failed onside kick, I started to get a little bit nervous. And then that second onside kick that was
hit Bolden in the hand.
Perfectly kicked.
Yeah.
And the dude could have caught it on the run
and
gone how far, I don't know. Then I got super nervous.
Yeah.
I guess in that moment when they're waiting for the replay and everything and trying to figure out, wait, why are they meaning so long about this simple penalty? Why does this require a conference like this?
It's funny too. I caught myself in a moment, and trust me, I did not hang on to this feeling very long. But my brief moment, for about 8 seconds after the ball hit Bolden's hand on the onside kick and rolled out of bounds, for the very briefest of moments, I was angry with the Texans that they closed the game out in a way that didn't allow me, because it's all about me,
right,
to fully enjoy this win. The fact that I had to sort of sweat this whole thing out and worry about an onside kick that, as you just said, Seth, was perfectly kicked. I like right over the line of, like, the hands team was like watching it just sail over their head.
It wasn't almost like they...
Like, it felt like it was hanging up there in slow motion. Oh! And it's sailing over their heads, and it hits Bolden in the hand. And as it rolls out of bounds, I'm going, you know what? The fact that I'm having to breathe a sigh of relief, you know, you Texans, you're inconveniencing me here. And then, after about 8 or 9 seconds, I'm going, they just beat the damn Patriots, man. Who cares? They have more points on the scoreboard at the end of the game.
I guess that would be the only blemish in that game, I would say, is that the Texans weren't able to get that first down on offense when they needed to after the Patriots had scored to really close the game out.
Which they've done all year long.
Right, right.
It was out of character for this team.
Yeah, that was the disappointment. Look, the Texans didn't run the ball well last night, but I'm not bothered by that because in the past, I feel like if the Texans weren't running the ball well, I felt like O'Brien might have ended up running the ball 35 times to try to establish the
until run. I'm going to run it until we run it well.
Damn it. They'd be down
28
points.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to.
Yeah. They'd be out on the field 2 hours afterwards doing 9-on-7 drills.
Scout team.
We'll establish the run at all. Guys, I don't care if we go 2-14. Right. We'll establish the run. They didn't establish the run. They went with what worked. And again, I think Deshaun Watson giving Bill O'Brien the game ball was pretty cool. Yeah. And I think Deshaun Watson talking about his relationship with Bill O'Brien, and there is that side of Bill O'Brien, obviously, that we don't get to see, where he's a classic football coach where he can be really cantankerous a lot of the time, but he balances it with a certain connection with his players, and that was nice to see.
Yeah, we don't know because we're not in the building all the time, but the sense I get just from, you know, players you talk to, watching Bill O'Brien in press conferences take all the bullets for his players, never throwing a guy under the bus, the interaction with the players that we see, Seth, I know Bill O'Brien has certain impressions with Texan fans where he gets cantankerous is a great word to use, by the way. He he gets cantankerous. Maybe in certain media sessions, he gets a little abrupt or he gets combative. I do think he fits into the category of a player's coach. You know, I think the players, I think most of the players, my guess is, like playing for Bill O'Brien, enjoy Bill O'Brien. The scene in the locker room last night with them giving him the game ball after the game was indicative of a team that feels that way. Now, some players who aren't here anymore might feel differently. Jadeveon Clowney might feel differently, but that doesn't matter. He's a Seattle Seahawk now.
Oh, yeah, and damn it, you can't advance an onside kick, obviously. Thank you. Thank you, 400 listeners that pointed that out for me.
Okay,
thank
that's
you.
Good yeah. that we've got 400 people pointing
so,
it out.
So it would have been was Tom Brady with the football and
with 50
good,
seconds
with good field
left.
Position. That's all.
Yeah,
that, that wouldn't have bothered me or scared me at all.
Having just piled up 200 yards in the previous couple drives.
Hey, listen, everybody. I'm on very little sleep here.
Yeah, that's right. So the Texans win last night 28-22. You know, it was interesting, Seth. Bill O'Brien had a cut from one of his press conferences leading up to the game this weekend where he was asked about, hey, how much does last year's game help you in scouting for this year's game against the Patriots? And he was making a point that, well, the teams are very different. There are certain elements of the team that are the same, the quarterbacks being the most obvious one, but so many things are different. And he rattled off a bunch of names on the Texans offensively. He goes, we're just a different team offensively. You know, we've got Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde. Will Fuller's going to play in the game. We've got Kenny Stills. You know, we made the Tunsil trade, blah, blah, blah. He's rattling off all these names, and I start thinking to myself, man, they've seriously upgraded the talent on the offensive side of the ball. And it gets you thinking about a lot of those names he's rattling off are names that have come on board after they made the change from Brian Gain to the structure that they're in right now. We know they went after Caserio, but the structure they're in right now, a lot of these upgrades that they've made, look at the starting lineup for the Texans in the Week 1 game against the Patriots last year. Their two running backs in that game were Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue. Their two running backs in this game were Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. That's an upgrade. Their second and third wide receivers in that game last year. And again, part of this is Will Fuller was injured for that game, but stay with me. Bruce Ellington and Vincent Smith, who I don't even know if either of those guys are in the league right now. That's who you went into Ellington. In week one with your two and three receivers. Last night it was Will Fuller and Kenny Stills.
But I think that, you know what the real shame of it all is? I wonder if they had this current GM committee set up, if Brian Gain had just been part of it and not the actual GM, or maybe Bill O'Brien just had more power and control.
Now you're cooking with gas.
To where he could have been traitor Bill O'Brien, but also had Brian Gain at his disposal. Because I'm also, look, when Max Sharping got that penalty in the second half.
False start on third and one.
It was the only time I'd really thought about Max Sharping all night, which is nice.
For like a month.
Right. I know Max Sharp in a good way.
Yeah.
In a really good way. Do you know how many times I thought about Xavier Suafilo? A lot more than Max Sharping, and it was usually for bad reasons.
Yeah.
So Max Sharping and Titus Howard ended up being very good draft picks, and those were Brian Gain-driven. Now Bill O'Brien had his input too, obviously, and was a big part of that. But you do wonder just how much of it, not that I'm going back and fixating on this or anything, I think Brian, there are a lot of fingerprints of Brian Gain on that team right now, and there are also the fingerprints of Bill O'Brien. I'm actually, if anything, moving forward, I guess what I'd be more concerned about than anything is that, yes, the current GM committee seems to be working out pretty well, but also I kind of wish we still had Brian Gain in the building. You know?
Yeah.
We know Brian Gain just goes back and forth between Buffalo and Houston. That maybe he ends up here in the spring. I don't know.
Maybe he'll freelance at draft time.
Yeah.
We'll hire him for a couple of weeks and take a look
consultant.
At some film. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But they've upgraded, Seth. You know, you mentioned the offensive line. Their offensive line last year in week one included Julion Davenport, Sinéad Kelamete, and Chantrell Henderson. And when Henderson went out with an injury, they moved Davenport to right tackle. They had Martinez Rankin, a rookie third-round pick who had no training camp, playing left tackle in that game last year. They have Laramie Tunsil playing now. The way they've upgraded the cornerback position on the fly with these Hargraves, and Conley didn't play last night, but he's played. I think he's done some nice things since they traded for him. I think even things like not paying Tyrann Mathieu $14 million and bringing in Tashaun Gibson, again, that was while Brian Gain was still in the building. My overall point with this is there were some Gain things that were good, but the moves that have been made both in season and just before the season by the committee of general managers, with Bill O'Brien as sort of the head of the snake, if you will, have been good moves largely for this team. Even Jacob Martin last night, look, the Clowney trade I don't think is one the Texan fans are ever going to feel great about necessarily because of the fact that you're going to trade a guy who's going to be a Pro Bowler for the fourth straight year for some guys who were backup players. But Jacob Martin came to play last. Jacob Martin was really good last night. He had as big a pass rushing game last night as practically any Clowney game in his time here in Houston. He had a 1.5 sacks. He was on film all night long. He was in that pocket all night long. He had 3 QB hits. They did a really good job of pressuring Tom Brady last night. So, look, a lot of these upgrades that they've made were showing up in this game last night.
Right, and it was interesting because Brady had a lot of time in the pocket on some plays in that game. Part of that was, I don't want to say by design, but they were playing coverage more than they were fixating on rushing the passer. But there were some key and crucial times where DJ Reader ended up having several quarterback hits in that game. That was one of our keys to victory before the game, was doing what every team tries to do is get pressure up the gut. Yeah. Because Tom Brady doesn't like that. It's one of his few kryptonites, even when he was in his prime. And DJ Reader was a part of that. Charles Omenihue is being able to rush the passer from various spots along the defensive line. They're doing all those things that you think of New England Patriots defense is doing, which is, hey, you take the first half of the season to figure out what you can and can't do and then start to gel. It feels like the Texans defense is starting to gel at the right moment. Huge part of that is just getting back the health in the defensive backfield. Yeah. They get Gary and Conley back next week, and then all of a sudden you got a whole bunch of guys that are capable of playing man defense.
All right, so the most underrated Texan last night, just to pay off on my tease, the flat organizational structure. They were the most underrated Texan last night.
Go elliptical structure.
That's right, the FOS.
Yeah.
They were underrated because of all the moves that they made to make this
flatter.
Team capable of beating the Patriots.
I think it's flatter. It's not completely flat,
yeah,
but it's flatter.
It's a little bumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.